2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading at the 13th verse. Paul here is giving some final instructions to his son in the faith, asking him to take care of certain things and to do certain things as he would seek to come to where Paul was. So we break into this chapter at verse 13, and Paul speaks to Timothy and says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with thee, or be with you. Amen. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. In just a moment, we're going to take just one phrase from this reading as our text tonight. Before we do so, I'd like for us to turn to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to meet with us for Jesus' sake. Father in heaven, now we would pray that Thou would bless the Word of God. We would pray that You would use it unto the end that the Lord Jesus would be magnified and we as the people of God would be drawn to where He is. Lord, that that which is in our hearts might be examined in the light of Thy Word, and that we might be a people who are ministered to by the Word, to give all up for Christ, and to give all to Christ. Lord, we pray that You will bless us and meet with us. We ask for a meeting with Thyself tonight through the Spirit of God. To this end, I pray that You'll help me as Your servant. Lord, do lead us on now, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. This evening I'm going to take what some may call as a very unusual text. But as I was reading through this portion yesterday, it struck me. And that is the first phrase of verse 21. Paul says to Timothy, do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come before winter. So I take as my title, come before winter. I would suggest to you that the statements that we have here that Paul is making to Timothy is very simple and very lacking in the need of explanation. Paul wants Timothy to come to him. He wants there to be the bringing of the things that he had left behind. He wants there to be, in the meantime, care taken by Timothy because there are opposers to the gospel and the cause of Christ. But Timothy was Paul's son in the gospel. And he is admonishing him to come to where he is for the reasons of fellowship, for the reasons of teaching, strengthening in the things of God. But he makes mention of when he wants him to come. Do thy diligence to come before winter. In other words, Paul wants Timothy to come to him before such a time as would mean that traveling would become very perilous. Perhaps you'll remember that other places in the scripture it speaks of winter in that area and the things that were done in the light of the coming winter. In Acts chapter 27, you read of Paul's journey to Rome. And it was because of the approach of winter that the captain of the ship that he was on decided to put into that harbor called Phoenice, which was a part of the island of Crete, because the place where they had been was a small place, and the scripture says there that it was not commodious to winter in. In other words, there probably wouldn't have been the supply that was needed. It was probably not going to offer the comfort that was wanted. And perhaps it may have actually been a somewhat hostile place to the things that the Romans would have brought or known or seen as the people that were there particularly were not hospitable. You read other places that it speaks of the Cretans as being slow bellies, always liars. Well, you don't want to be in a certain place where you're liable to meet with some of those sorts. Was not commodious. The Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 13, when he offers that prophecy about the coming of the Lord and the day of judgment, he says, pray that your flight be not in winter. Well, you might wonder, well, what's that for? Why would he say that? I mean, what difference would that make? Well, I think the Lord Jesus is simply saying there, do you understand that there will be times when there are no resources for help? That there will be small comforts, if any. In other words, you might put it this way. Winter is depicted in Scripture as the world at its worst. Do not come when the world is at its worst, but rather come at a time that is appointed. Come at a time that is right. Come at a time that is a comfortable time. You might ask, well, why are you making this observation? I will simply say this, and some people will say, you're taking this way out of context. I say, you're right. But I'm going to do so because I think there is something here that would suggest to us what it means for us to come to the Lord Jesus. Come before it's winter. Come before it's winter. Come before things are at their worst and do not offer what is needful for you to come. You know, winter, again, was also seen as a time of controversy, not just only as a time of where there's no resource. John chapter 10, verse 22, the Lord Jesus is giving the discourse about the Good Shepherd. And it says in the midst of that, before you get to that section where he talks about he and his Father being one and all that are his are in his Father's hand, he and his Father are one. In the midst of that, you have the insertion, and the Pharisees came to him and were asking him, who do you say you are? Tell us plainly. There was controversy. There was animosity. There was, in fact, in some ways, even danger, for these people were set to put the Lord to death, depending on what he said. But it says there in John chapter 10, verse 22, and it was in the winter. It was winter. A time without resource, but it's also a time that where there can be controversy and there can even be danger. Such is the picture of the Scripture. So Paul's instruction to Timothy was to come to him before the greatest of natural hindrances come and blocks the way and imperils Timothy's life. Don't wait until the storms of winter come. Do not wait until the ways of nature blocks your ability to get here. Again, it is certain that there is no more to Paul's statement than that. But I will say that there are some parallels that can be made about the man who would make his way to the Lord Jesus. And that is what I want us to think about this evening. I want us to take this very briefly and consider that there is a parallel that is very simple and without complication. We are bidden of our God to come to the Lord Jesus. But the point is, you are to come to Christ while He bids you come. Not at some point in which we are ready ourselves. Now, I will say to you this. That is true in the matter of salvation. When it is time for the Lord Jesus to have you at His feet, you are to come at that time. You are to come at the time that is made available to you to seek the gospel and be saved. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Lord, the Lord sets before us the invitation to come to Him and be saved. Are those not the very sentiments of Isaiah chapter 55? Come. Come and buy. Buy without money. Yes, come. And find salvation for your soul. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. That is very plain. It's also true about our needs. Do we have needs of heart? Do we have needs of soul? Things that are distresses that need to be dealt with by the Lord? When are you to come to find the answer to these things? Well, does the Lord Jesus tell us plainly in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? When does He mean for you to do that? When you are able to approve of yourself? When you're able to applaud yourself? When you're able to say, "I don't really have any need anymore"? Then what's the need to come to the Lord Jesus? You come to the Lord when you have the need. Come when He calls you. It's true also, the Lord calls to us at times to come away to fellowship with Him. Do you remember the time when the disciples were in the boat and out in the water, and it was tending toward the morning, and they looked on the shore, and there was a form on the shore, and this one that was on the shore had set the coals to going and put fish thereon. And then He calls to the men in the boat. What's He say? Come and dine. In other words, come. I'm ready to have fellowship with you. I've come to do something for you. Not only just to feed your stomachs, but more so to feed your souls. Come and dine. There's to be fellowship to be had. When should you come? Point is, when He calls you. We are to arise and come to Jesus while the voice of the Lord is heard in your heart. That is a point here. I will make three observations from this as it relates to winter and why we should come when the Lord bids us. The first thing I want you to see with me is that there is good reason. Why should I come to the Lord Jesus when He bids me? There's very good reason. As with winter, when we are bidden, there may not always be the same conditions as when you hear the voice if you wait until it's winter. If you wait until you find yourself ready to come, the conditions may not be as it was when He called. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" Well, I'll say very plainly, as with winter, you might find that there are hindrances. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord when He would call to you and ask you to come to where He is, you might find that you have entered into a time when you are facing great hindrances. You say, "What are you saying?" Well, I'll say this. You know, there are times when a child of God would seek the face of the Lord, but he'll find that when he starts his way to the Lord, he runs up against his own sin. He runs up against the pollution of his own heart. He runs up against his faithlessness and his unbelief. He comes against false ways of thinking. I say sin may find you while you are careless and while you nap and while you tarry. And as a result of sin encroaching and you're not obeying the voice of the Lord when He would tell you what He wants you to do, but say, oh, I'll come later. You might find that you come up against very grievous issues that are hard to be dealt with. You'll find things within your own heart that you find distressing and perhaps even bringing you to despair. Things that you have to deal with that perhaps would not have been there had you arisen and come to the Lord Jesus when He would ask you to. Perhaps you remember in Pilgrim's Progress, there's the moment when Christian, on his journey, finds an arbor. And he finds it a very pleasant place. He says, what I'll do is I'll just sit here for a moment and rest. Well, he doesn't just sit for a moment. He falls fast asleep. And the day goes by. And he finds that when he's ready to arise and go on his journey again, it's almost dark. In fact, it does become dark. And now he's left to journey in the dark toward the place where he would find rest. And you find him lamenting. Because not only did he start out late in the day, but when he reached into his hand to find the scroll that was the proof of his place with the one whom had called him, he found it wasn't there. And he found, I must retract my steps, and he has to go back. And eventually, when he comes to the arbor, he finds that the scroll had rolled out from his cloak. And he finds it and takes it to himself. And puts it in his next to his heart. But then he begins to weep because he says to himself, oh, that I had not slept. Oh, that I had just arisen and kept on going when I was supposed to. Now that journey which has caused me to, I could have gone but once. Now I have to go over that same road three times. Once over, once back, and once again. Let me tell you what, when you don't do what the Lord says, when you don't come to the feet of Christ, when He would call to you, you might find that your waiting will produce grievous issues that cause you much consternation and much pain in your own heart as a result of it. It's like winter, the winter winds that blow. You will also find that perhaps the Lord was calling you its way to Himself because there would shortly come affliction and opposition that you would find on your doorstep had you not come, or had you come when He had told you, you would not have faced that. You say, well, does that ever happen? We just ask Lot. What do you think would have been the case with Lot if he had arisen and gone with the angels the very moment they walked into Sodom and bid him to come? I think you would have seen that whole incident around the door would not have occurred. You would have had many things, perhaps. And you might even say, maybe there would have been something different that would have transpired in the heart of his wife. The man suffered because he tarried. There's an old word that's used back in where I grew up. Some of the old folks used to use it. I use it every once in a while. People look at me strange. But maybe you've heard the term, to dilly-dally. There is a mindless, purposeless waiting, fooling around, doing nothing of any consequence or any worth. That's what it means to dilly-dally. You're just wasting time. There are hindrances. There's a good reason why you to arise and come to Christ when He would bid you to come to the feet, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for the fulfillment of the needs of your heart, or whether it's just for fellowship with Christ. There's a good reason why you should arise and come at once, because there are hindrances should you tarry. There's also found in winter coldness and storms. You know, if you wait when you hear the voice of Christ, perhaps your heart is moved by the Spirit of God and you find yourself in a place where you're rejoicing in the Lord, and the Lord would have you to go into a place in time of communion with Himself or separate you for something. And you say, I'm going to wait. You might find that while you wait, that your heart grows cold. And then when you know that it is time to arise and come to the Lord, it becomes very difficult to arise and come. You might find that your faith is greatly lagging. Coldness. coldness and storms. You know, when you read those words in Acts 27 about them facing the winter and the storms of winter, and how they would stay in one place but move to they didn't want to stay in one place but move to another. It was Paul's comment to the centurion there: "I perceive that this voyage is going to be with much hurt." In other words, don't set out now, because there are things that are in the way that can cause you great cost. And of course, you remember the scripture talks about that storm named Euroclydon. Do you want me to tell you plainly, there are Euroclydons in the Christian experience? And oftentimes, they are there because the people of God simply do not obey. They do not arise and follow Christ. They do not do what the Lord would have them to do, but they wait and follow after their own counsel, and they find that they're in the midst of Euroclydon. Also, I will say this, here's another good reason. Not only is there the possibility of hindrances and the possibility of coldness and storms, but it's very possible that you would find that the time of the Lord's visitation may be short. What the Lord means to do, what the Lord is offering for you, is by way of blessing and help, may be a very short offered blessing. See, I don't understand. Do you remember the words of Song of Solomon chapter 5? Do you remember the beloved comes to the door and he knocks? And he calls for the beloved to come away, but she tarries. She wants to make herself better. She wants to do something for herself. She wants to make herself more impressive or whatever. She delays, but then she comes to the door ready to open the door and find out, you know, to say, in other words, ta-da, here I am. And she finds that her beloved has removed himself. And then all her preparations and all that she's done to make herself to be so appealing come to nothing, because she finds herself frantically having to run through the city, asking those that she meets, "Tell me, where is he whom my soul loveth?" And she finds that she is rebuffed by the watchmen and those of the city, who find her and count her as a foolish one. You say, why does that set? Why do we have that set in the Scripture? Simply to say this. You know, there are times the Lord is coming and calling to your heart sweetly and softly and have you arise and come away with himself. And yet, you say, oh, I'll do something more. I'll wait a little bit. I will not do as the Lord bids. I'll not obey him in this thing just this second. But I know I'll take time and I'll make myself better. You might find that the Lord and what he would seek to do in your heart was a short time visitation. But also, here's another reason. The coming of the lion may be near. You know, maybe it's a good thing for you to rise and come, because the adversary may be at hand. First, you know the scripture, the first Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the predator generally, in fact, I would almost say almost always, waits till the sheep wanders away from the shepherd before he makes his move. Wandering away from the shepherd. And I would say this, that not every sheep that wanders away from the shepherd is a rebellious sheep. It may be that you have a very careless sheep. You may have a faithless sheep. You may have a sheep that is going after his own way of thinking. Not necessarily just saying, "I will not have him rule over me," but rather, "Oh, this looks good to me." And he finds himself in the place where he's facing one who would devour. You know, the Lord would sometimes call to us for a very good reason. Do thy diligence to come before winter. before there are the hindrances and the storms and the coldness of your own heart and all these things that perhaps are against you. I would also say this. Here is another thought that I will suggest to you. That this is an appropriate statement, for there is good resource. Not only is there good reason, but there is good resource. Why be so careful to come to Jesus before winter comes? Well, I will say this. First, because what is needed to carry through winter is found with Christ. What is needed to carry you through the spiritual winters is found with Christ. Let me tell you, the Lord does not ever say, if you come to the Lord Jesus and come to where He is, you will never know winter. That's not the statement. That's not the idea. And what Paul was saying to Timothy, it's not that winter will not come. It's not stopped from coming, but there is what's needed to find comfort and health and peace in the Lord Jesus. What you need to go through the winter time is found in Christ. Come before, so that you are in that place where you may draw from those resources that are in Christ Jesus, that will keep your heart in mind in those days when you have to find yourself facing the winter winds. And you're only going to find that accommodation in Christ. You'll not find it elsewhere. You'll not find that which will serve to meet your heart needs anywhere else. What is needed to carry through winter is found in Christ. Also, what is needed to strengthen for spring is found with Christ. You know, coming to Christ is frequently not an end, but it is a beginning. When the Lord Jesus would have you come away to be with Him where He is, to commune with Him, it's not just the end of everything, but rather oftentimes it's just the beginning. He is doing a work in us that fits us for further usefulness. He's doing a work in us that causes us to understand more about Himself. Come to where I am before winter is, that we might have time together, that you might be fit and ready for spring when it comes, because there's much work to do. Paul comments on this in 2 Timothy 3 and 17. After that well-known verse, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. There's a preparation work. There's an equipping work. There's a fitting work that needs to be done in the heart of any man who would walk with Christ. And that oftentimes requires you to be alone with Christ. May I give you an example? You remember when Paul was converted? Of course, you say, well, I remember that Damascus Road. The light shines. Paul's blind. He arises and goes to the house of Aeneas and is healed. The scales fall off. Yes, but what does he do then? Now, we're talking about the Apostle Paul, the greatest of the theologians that the church has ever known. Perhaps the greatest missionary that the church has ever known. By the grace of God. He admits that. I am what I am by the grace of God. What did the Lord do with him? He saved him, and then He took him apart. For how long? For 3 full years. Where he grew in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Then the Lord sent him out, because the work that was going to be required of him and of Barnabas and of Silas and of others that were with him, Luke and Titus and some of the others that were travelers with him, the work was far greater than what they were able to bear. There had to have been a preparation time in the heart of Paul. Oftentimes, the Lord will call us away to a place where you and I say, well, this is a winter time for me. There is no fruit in this time. There's nothing growing in this time. There's nothing that is seen as rising up out of this time. This is a winter time for me. Oftentimes the Lord calls you to those places that you might find the resources for your soul in Him, that He might prepare you for the spring work. There is good resource in Christ. But I want you to see, and this, with this I'm done, I want you to see the last thing. There is good reward. By arising and coming to the Lord Jesus, there is a good reason why you come before winter. There is a good resource, but there's a good reward. What will we find with Christ? When we come and we sit at the feet of Christ, what are we going to find? And I'll just be very simple. You'll find the opposite of winter. You find the opposite of winter. When we are arising and coming to Christ, as it were, before the arrival of winter time of spirit and soul, we will find that we are in that place where we are safe. That's a benefit. That's a reward. We will be safe. Though there is howling without, we are safe within the arms of Christ. Though the devils would howl at us, though the winds of adversity would blow, though we would find the coldness of our day sweeping around us, all is well. For we are with Christ. I think that in some ways was what the Savior was trying to get across to His disciples when they were out there in the stormy sea in the boat. And they come to Him and say, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And He said, "Oh, ye of little faith. All is well when you're with Christ. You're safe in Christ Jesus. Even though there will be opposition, and there may be, the Lord willing, a call for some to lay down their life. That's not something to be feared. The Lord tells us plainly, fear not those that kill the body, but fear the one who has the ability to destroy the soul. We are safe in Christ Jesus. There's good reward for us when we come. Also, I present this. We will be not only safe, but we will be sustained. The shortages of winter will not be known. The shortages of spiritual winter will not be known. Let me ask a quick question. What are believers short of so often? Well, I think you can make a very personal list for yourself. What am I short of? What do I find lacking in my own heart and life before God? Well, we could start a list. We could say, well, we're short of peace. We're often short of power. We're short of wisdom. We're short of guidance. We're short of joy. Or maybe we can just say this. In our spiritual winter, we don't see the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe there's a parallel that you don't have fruit in wintertime. I'm short on the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, we're short. But you know what? When we are with the Lord Jesus, we will find that the things that sustain us spiritually will be there and in good supply. And I'll say this, and then I'm done. One of the rewards is that we will not only be safe and sustained, but we'll be satisfied. What we find with Christ will be satisfying to the heart. Satisfying. What is characteristic of winter is that there is want. There is discontent. With Christ, it is the opposite. When I find that I am with Christ, though it is a winter time, I find that I am satisfied with Him. Paul makes statement to Timothy, come before winter. And I know that there is just a very simple explanation there. Timothy, come before the storms of winter start. And you find yourself hindered from coming. But there is a parallel to us that we need to come to the Lord Jesus before winter. That we might find for our souls that which brings safety and sustenance and satisfaction. Well, amen. May the Lord bless the word. May He cause us to see the need of our own heart. May He show us where we are, that we might come to Christ quickly as we hear Him calling. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you'll bless the word of God. We pray that thou'll use this simple illustration to help us to be a people that will arise quickly when we hear the voice of the Lord and come to where Jesus is before the times of adversity and winter come. Lord, we would pray that you will strengthen us by the Spirit from having been in the Word of God this day. We pray that you will prepare our hearts and minds as we think upon Christ to be able to serve the Lord Jesus and to love Him with all that's within us. Do Thy work within, we pray. Lord, remember each one of these, Thy people. Speak to every heart, commune with each one. Let the days of this week be a time in which they find Christ in the Word and as they would seek His face in prayer. Lord, let them know the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will do a work for us all. Use us for the sake of Christ, we would pray. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.